that it is Christmas. It is the season to celebrate the birth of a Savior. Hallelujah. Lord, we come here tonight, dear God, Lord, just to remember, remind ourselves, Lord, what you've done for us. I pray to God, Lord, that each heart here will be ministered, God, and reminded of what it's about. And Lord, what you gave to us. Lord, we thank you for that. And we'll sing one more time.
We'll give him all the glory in Christ the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody that you're glad they're here. Tell someone else that, say, I'm sitting beside the best looking person in this place. All right, look, tell the other person that. Hallelujah. You know, tonight we come to celebrate. It's Jesus' birthday. But you know what's funny about this? It's not funny, but it kind of is that. You know, if somebody comes to my house, knocks on my door and says, hey, it's your birthday. Yeah, thanks, I know. And they come to your house and they come in and everybody there has a gift. But unfortunately, the gift for each one of them, and they didn't bring me one. It's his birthday. And sometimes we forget that. We forget what it's about. We forget about the purpose of this. I'm here tonight just to remind you. I pray that I encourage you. And give you a word that encourages you and reminds you what this is about. Sometimes our focus is on so many different things. And sometimes I want you to realize that the things that we focus, if it's not Christ, those things wear us out. If it's not centered on him, we end up wearing ourselves down. We get caught up in everything else. You get disappointed because you might not get what you want. How many of you have ever been disappointed? I remember many Christmases morning running downstairs looking for that present that I circled 100 times in that Sears catalog. Come on, you get it about November. And this was work, man, because I went through that and through it, and I wanted to find the right gift. And I spent a lot of time trying to find that right one for me. And Christmas morning, I find out that they didn't bring it. But I want you to hear that sometimes we get disappointed, but I want you to know it's more than that. And I want you to be in, just to hear this word tonight. Let's look at Luke. Luke 2. It's up on the screen for you, but I'm gonna read it from my Bible, if that's okay. I don't know if you've ever heard it this way, but I'm going to bring it to you this way. I know every year we hear the same story, and sometimes it just becomes dull to us because we know. But I hope that tonight I can really speak to your hearts and see that it's more than what we've seen. There's more to it. I want you to know that God's about the details. He takes care of the details. He goes into the depths of things because of his love for you, and I want you to see that tonight. So this is in Luke 2:8, and it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, there's a couple things I just want to underline here, and sometimes I get sidetracked because I get excited about talking about what he's done for me. But it says that they were abiding in the fields, and that word abiding means that they were enduring. And it was the nighttime. I want you to know that they had a visitation suddenly in their life in the midst of a nighttime season. And they were enduring. I don't know about you, but is there some things that your heart has desired and you've endured through things through a night season? There's things sometimes that we may pray for, some things that we're looking for. Sometimes we're wanting things to happen. We're wondering why things are the way they are. And sometimes you endure here. But I want you to know that he came and made a visitation. I want you to take this personal because he's talking about you. And here's what I mean by that. And he says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and glory, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And they were so afraid. I would be too. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you great tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. Say all people. That word joy means great pleasure and happiness. And I want you to see that there's a couple things that I want you just to grip hold of. I want you to know that what was the purpose that He sent His Son? What was it for? And we know that He was sent for our to redeem us, to save us from sin. But like I said before, there's more to it. If there could be, there is. And I want you to understand that here He is, that God sent His Son in the flesh to represent Him. If you could look at John 1:18. Would you get that for me, Randy? And the Scripture says that He's Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. Say God with us. Do you believe that God's with us? You know, the Bible says that I am with you always. Say always. Always. And it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, Jesus, which is the bosom of the Father, He's closer than anybody else. He hath declared Him. And I want you to see what that means. It means that He has revealed who God was. And I want you to recognize that this is so powerful, because this is so powerful for us to see that this is one of the reasons, and there's many reasons, but this is so powerful for us to understand that He came to reveal who God was. See, everybody at this moment, at this time, only had a glimpse of God. They haven't seen God. They had experienced it from somebody else secondhand. Can you say secondhand? From what somebody else. You know, that's sometimes the worst way to get information. Did you ever tell a story to somebody and then tell somebody else and somebody else? By the time it gets to you, it's so off track that you couldn't even recognize where it came from. Do you know that's what happened? That God placed it and says, listen, I'm going to let man do this, but watch what happens. These men, they gave the whole image of God and just messed it up. But I want you to know that Jesus came to fix the problem, to reveal who He was in the flesh, to show man what God was. And that's why it opened up with joy to the world. He came to bring joy. I want you to know the plans that God has for you are not evil, but good. There's no turning within God. There's no darkness within Him. He can't do anything else but good. Tell someone He's good. He's not good sometimes. He's good all the time. That's who He is. That's His nature. And Jesus shows us this. If you want to know what God looks like, you see Jesus. And all through the Bible shows you what He thinks about hurts and pains and loneliness and brokenness. People that have been rejected, the lowest of lows, the blind, He made to see. Every one of these that we can kind of be familiar with, any one of these things, that the woman at the well or whatever problem they had, the man that couldn't walk, that was not able to function. It was God's love that touched him, that was bringing them to show them, this is God. This is who He is. This is His love. This is the Father represented in the earth. And this is our example. And He says, and I wrote this down because sometimes we always say this, that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen? I want you to take this to heart right now, because Jesus is not only the reason for the season, but you're the reason for Christmas. You're the reason He came. He came for no other... Listen, He was comfortable where He was. But He came for no other reason but to reveal who the Father was and to bring it back to the right place. I don't want secondhand knowledge of who God is. I need to know Him for who He is to me. So many times the churches, unfortunately, we are just human, and sometimes we don't always represent God right. But I have to remind myself who He is and what Jesus did and what God looks like. And Jesus shows me what He looks like and His love for me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, I don't get frustrated, but some people say, well, do you know, you really... Somebody said to me, they said, really? If you could prove to me that Jesus was born on the 25th, I'll come to church. I said to myself, I don't really care. Not that they don't come to church, but I really don't care when he was born. But that he was born. See, it's not about a date to me, but it's about a person. His name is Jesus. And about what he represented. I don't care if it was July 15th. Or 12th. That was her birthday. It would have been nice if he was born September 16th. That's my birthday. And the Bible says this. It says that I've come to bring good tidings. Say good tidings. Not bad news, but good news. Listen, the media has brought such negative publicity to God at this time. And Jesus says, I've come to rewrite history. I've come to demonstrate who he really is. And it says this, and it says, and this is the powerful point, the second point that I want to make. For unto you, tell someone unto you. See, that is so important. That is so powerful. Isaiah says that for unto us, a child is born, a son is given. Unto us. See, that's what's so powerful, because I want you to know that his birth was about you. He came because of you. That you could take hold of that and say, unto us, unto me, he was born. He was born for me. To demonstrate who God was to me. That I could see the love of God in Jesus Christ. And he says, in this day, the city of David, which is Christ the Lord, Savior, Christ the Lord, this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay, there's a couple things here, and I want you to get your perspective on this. See, because sometimes our perspective gets off on Christmas and what it's about. But we hear the story about a baby in a manger. And when I think of this, here's God sending his son to establish his kingdom on earth. If I was God, I wouldn't send a baby. If I was trying to establish a kingdom somewhere that's hostile, I would send an army, a military, a power that's powerful. But I want you to know that's my perspective. That's the earth's perspective. Because what it looked like that he was born in a barn. The earthly perspective is this. Are you kidding me? A barn? Who would want to be born in a barn? I don't know. Maybe somebody was. I don't want to offend you. But if you were, all right. Don't let nobody knock it. But here it is. This is the perspective. But Heavenly's perspective was declaring something glorious has just happened. They were excited. You know why? Because it was the first time to see angels seen in flesh. God. From the beginning of time, from the moment they were created, this moment right here was the moment that they seen God in the flesh. And here he was, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. God sent his son in the flesh. Vulnerable. But you see, I want you to know that I began to think about this, and I began to think that, God, why would you do it this way? I want you to know, because here's the powerful thing, that God wanted to see it from your perspective. I want you to help me and stick with me for a minute, because I want to help you. Because the reason why I got this is because a while ago I was sharing about marriage to a couple. They don't go here. Tell someone they don't go here, so don't think about it. And what I was sharing with them that, and I began to think about it, and the moment that they were arguing the whole time through this thing, I thought, oh my good, how's this going to happen? I want you to know that God began to speak to my heart. He says, the only way that they can understand one another is that they see from one another's perspectives. See, I've been married for 29 years, and I didn't always see it from her side. So I couldn't enter into her pain or what she went through, because I seen it from my side. I might got to be right all the time. But I want you to know, a successful marriage after 29 years, I thought, man, we're not arguing about those things no more. See, because I began to see things from her perspective. That's what love does. love will grow from that moment. I want you to know that that's what Jesus did. He came here to see it from your perspective. See, well, I don't know. No, I want you to know that the Bible says that God doesn't sleep. He's not tired. But He experienced it through you. Your tiredness. He's not weak, but He experienced it through you. He was rejected. He was broken. He was lied to. He was hurt. I don't know if any one of those things you could take hold of. I want you to know that He wanted to see your perspective. And this is the God that says, unto you is this King. So that He can know where you came from. That He can enter into your pain, into your hurt. Now we have an intercessor that knows what I'm going through. I want you to know that, listen, nobody knows you like Jesus. He was sent here to feel your pain. To know where you are and to deliver you, to redeem you. And give you resurrection life. Not for you to stay there, but to overcome. And to take hold of all that He has. Do you like that? For unto you, this is personal, that we could see that. He came for me. That He was tempted, just like us. He was forsaken. He was bruised. He was hungry. He knows what you feel. He can enter into our pain with feeling. See, when you feel somebody's hurt, when you feel that, I want you to know that this jumps in my heart because it makes me realize and love God even more to realize that, God, you know what I go through. Do you ever get to that place where you're at that place? Nobody understands me. I think she said that to me hundreds of times. And I might have said it to her. Have you ever said that before? Come on. Isn't it frustrating to be at a place where that you feel like nobody understands you? I want you to know the Bible tells me that He does. For unto us, a child is born, a son is given. So that He could see it from your perspective. So that you could get a new perspective of heaven. You have your perspective of earth and negative things. But it doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter what you were born into. He was born into a barn. It doesn't matter where you come from. Tell someone it doesn't matter where you come from. Oh, listen. I want to tell you this too. I don't have time to do this, but if you want to look at the ancestry of Jesus, it tells you all about it. And I want you to know there's some scandals. There's prostitutes. There's liars. There's thieves. Everything that you can imagine. Probably a lot that has been in your family. Or mighty you've known, or mighty that you've done. But the Bible goes through all of it, the history of Jesus, telling who He is. And then it says, can I just read it to you? Is that all right? You okay with that? Just a second. Let me find it. Because sometimes you might not believe me, so I'm going to. So it goes through this. This is in Matthew 1, and it goes through all this. I wrote these down. Boaz, he had war against God's church. Rehoboam had gold calves they worshipped. Uzziah got leprosy. Hezekiah took gold from the doors. Manasseh broke down the altars. Amon sacrificed to idols. Jeroboam surrendered to Babylon. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of history there. But then it says this, and I'm going to rephrase this because it says, and now, say now. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was under those circumstances that it happened. I want you to know that it doesn't matter. I want you to recognize that it didn't matter whether he was born in a barn. It was whether or not Jesus was in it. It doesn't matter what you go through. I want you to know the thing that we need to know is whether or not God's with us. If Christ is with us. If Emmanuel was with me. That I am sure in my heart that I know that He's with me. There's something powerful. I know that He never leaves me nor forsakes me. And sometimes whatever, whether it's shame, whether it's things in your past or whatever things you're going through or things aren't working out for you, you feel like God's against you. You don't have to show your hands, but I bet you here, if you're honest, that everybody here would raise their hand to feel that God was against us. But I want you to realize and understand that He's not. He's for you. Because if God could be for me, who could be against me? And God wants good. Let me finish. But I wanted to, this is just an extra, that you cannot love someone effective if you don't know them, if you don't know them. You cannot love somebody effectively unless you know them. I mean, know them. The Bible even says in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, husbands, live with your wife accordingly to knowledge. It means this: you better get to know your wife if you're going to live with her. You better see her perspective. Come on, guys. You got to see her perspective. That's what love does. Love will do it at all cost. And even knowing what he had to go through, he still did it. Even knowing what he had to, all the things that he had to go through, he still went with it. That's how much he loves you. He didn't stop. He didn't hesitate. But he did it with joy. Why? Because he knew what it would bring him a perspective, and that he could heal you, that he could set you free, and that you don't have to stay in that place. The Bible says this in Isaiah 53. A couple more scriptures. Are you okay? All right. The Bible says this: who believed our report? I'm here to say, who's going to believe this report about God? He says, and to whom is the arm revealed? God desires to reveal who he is to you. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He grew up in dry ground, in dry places. He had things stacked against him. From the moment he was born, do you know they were trying to kill him? From the moment he wasn't even here, taking his first breath, and they were looking and knowing that he was coming, and they wanted to kill him. That's tough. Sometimes it feels like we feel like everybody's against us. He knows what that feels like. He said he had no form, no comeliness, and when you shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And what I was saying was, you know what? You might not feel beautiful. You might not feel like you're all that. He knows what that feels like. But you are. And he says, and he was despised. He was rejected by man. A man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. We hide, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. This is powerful. I want you to know this is what Christmas is about. Because he wanted to know your hurts, your griefs, your pains that nobody knows. There's things in our hearts that nobody knows, but he does. And he says, and we hid, as it were, our faces. And he says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten, a God and afflicted. He was afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. For unto you, for this chastisement for my peace was upon him. And his stripes, we are healed. I want you to take hold of this and remember that he did that for you. That we can come into a relationship that we don't have to stay in our sorrow. I don't care what sorrow it is. He knows what you've been through. He knows all your pains. He knows all your heart. You don't have to carry it alone. He carried it for you to the cross. He took it. Whatever pain it is, whatever thing has been in your past, whatever you're worried about today, give it to God. Because that's what Christmas is about. That's why we're here tonight. Let me finish. But he chose to enter in. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:18. My guys, if they could get ready. If you got you. Get ready to let everybody out. The Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's all it takes. Say it's faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to take hold and understand that faith, He wants you to grip your heart that you might understand what I talked about tonight. Seeing it, that He did this for you. That this is what Christmas is about. And He says that we might be able to comprehend with everybody, all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. How wide. I want you to know that He wants you to know. He came here to reveal the Father and to take hold of pain, whatever you run from, because the Bible says that from the farthest depth, how wide it is, it doesn't matter how far it is. I want you to know that I ran from Newcastle to Lancaster from God. Do you know what I found when I got there? God. I thought that I could just plug my ears. I could hide. My dad's a preacher. I live by a church. My other neighbor was a preacher. I couldn't get far enough away from it, so I figured I'd run as far as I could. But guess what? He was still on the other side of Pennsylvania, if you don't know that. But He says that He wants me to know how wide it is. The Bible says that the length of it, and this is what we don't know. This is what's radical about His love for me. It says the length of it. That it means this. It's unconditional. It's not based upon what you do for Him. It's about what He did for you. It doesn't matter. It's about His love for you. The length that He's went for you. And the depth. How deep it goes. And I want you to know that it goes into the depths of the pit. Into the pit. Into the deepest places, the things that you fall into and you can't get out on your own. I want you to know that His love goes there. I want you to know He's covering everything. He's covering every area, everything in our lives. That's what He does. He's all about the details. That's what He is. And the gift that He gave you was the best. It was the greatest gift. It was the Son. And the last one is, and the height. And I want you to know that this isn't just an access to sin. But He says that I've overlooked everything. All your flaws, all your insecurities, all the things that makes you miserable about yourself or makes you not like yourself, He overlooks them. He looks over them because His love is greater. It goes farther. It goes deeper. It goes wider. That's who He is. And because of that, do you know what? I want you to know that it's because of that love that makes me run to God. It makes me aware of Him. Yes. See, the kids are agreeing with me. And He says that we can know, He says, the height and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. God wants you to be full of Him. Love, joy, peace, righteousness. Full with Him. I want you to know this love that He gave is radical. And tonight, every one of us, I want you to come. I want you to know you're invited because He did this for you. This was a gift to you. He sent His Son for the whole world. And tonight we're taking communion, what represents Him. The bread is His body. You don't have to be a member of this church. But what it does is it reminds me that He came in the flesh, that He's real. It reminds me of His sacrifice. It reminds me of the power of His life for mine. That He exchanged, took my pain onto Himself. That's what this is about. It's communion. Coming into union with God. The Bible says, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we do this, we do it to remind ourselves to be remembered with God. You might feel like you've been separated, but I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, that you could receive what He gave you as the greatest gift of all that you'll ever receive. And you'll know who you are, you know where you're from, and you know where you're going. Would you stand with me?
Or you can come this out. We're going to let you out. As you come, you'll make your way around. And you'll come up here and you're going to grab your candles and take your candles back, and then they'll light them for you. Don't light them too quick. This is a big place. A lot of things are, can, you know, I'm not sure where all the fire extinguishers are right now, so I'm joking. So, hallelujah. Prepare your hearts. Hallelujah. I thank everybody for coming. I pray that you remember this. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And the government shall dwell upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I want you to know that God didn't leave anything out for anybody or anyone, but he gave everything. For everything that we need is in Jesus. He's the light of the world. He's the hope in darkness. Whatever I need, he's my counselor when I need hope. He's the peace when I'm going through trouble. And he's wonderful all the time. And he wants to be that to me. I pray that you don't leave here without recognizing and knowing that God's with you. He never left you. He'll never forsake you. Take hold of that in your heart. Receive him into your heart. Believe that he's with you. And that your sins are forgiven. And we glorify his name. And we'll say with all of our hearts that we are and highly favored in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank everybody. I want to let everybody know that we have a lot of...